Welcome to the Bob Siegel Show podcast on the Cross Global Media Radio Network. Visit cgmradio.com/Bob to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform.
We are always happy to welcome Ruth Wise of Election Integrity Project California. The last time she was on, just a few weeks ago, I asked her to comment on the overwhelming reports of election fraud during the attempted recall of Governor Gavin Newsom. Tonight, she returns for an updated recap, at least whatever update she's allowed to share. Ruth is also going to talk about Election Integrity Project's stance against mail-in ballots recently voted into law permanently by our fantastic, incredible Sacramento Congress. Apparently, even the Republican leadership, so-called, is going along with this. So good to know that rhinos are alive and well. They are not an endangered species. Ruth Wise, welcome back to our program.
Oh, thank you, Bob. It's always such a pleasure to be with you.
It's a pleasure to be with you, too, even though it's not usually pleasurable circumstances that's occasioning it. So, Ruth, I'll ask the question, what's the good news in the world?
Well, I thought I would recap for you tonight some of the major issues that surfaced in the 2021 gubernatorial recall election. A lot of them are the same kind of thing that surface every election, but it indicates that California is still very much in a situation where we have a lot of election corruption. And my real concern is that both sides of the aisle are reassuring us that nothing is wrong, that there everything is fine, that nothing went wrong. And our evidence to the contrary, it's very frustrating that we can't get anybody to listen. But very quickly, what we saw significantly in 2021 was number one on the list is the cursory signature verification, because people are reassured that when they turn in their vote by mail ballot, it's safe because nobody could vote in their name because the signature verification is going to catch any ballot that comes in unreasonably or illegally. And yet that just isn't true. If you show up and watch for 10 minutes the way that they verify signatures, you would begin to realize that this is just not a way to make sure that the ballots are coming from a legitimate voter. And it's very frustrating. And it's not the registrars of voters' fault. They have to go with the regulations that are promulgated by the Secretary of State. And these regulations, which have now been signed into law because the legislature picked them up and put them into the last couple of laws that were signed into law, we now have some very, very bad signature verification. And that means that practically any signature will pass, that it's very difficult to throw anything out. In addition, we had a lot of ballots come back, unreasonable numbers that our observers saw of undeliverable ballots, which, again, is testimony to the voter rolls being so out of control and too many people on the voter rolls that don't need to be there. But all these undeliverable ballots, there were concerns about what they were going to do with them, how they would handle them, how they would use them to clean the voter rolls. Many of them came back unstamped. So there were some questions we're still working through as to how we're going to use those undeliverable ballots to help rather than to harm the issue. We also had, as always, a lot of people reporting that they got two or more ballots delivered in their name. Many people who got ballots delivered that were at their address, but addressed to people they did not know and never have known, as well as deceased relatives and friends. We got a lot of people calling from out of state, saying, you know what, I haven't heard from California in 10 years, but suddenly I got a ballot.
Oh, amazing.
Suddenly I got a text message from a Secretary of State.
And how about all those relatives that rise from the dead every election year, Ruth? People say they don't believe in the resurrection. We see it all the time.
We absolutely do. It's very, very astonishing how these people rotate off the voter rolls and then rotate back on. One of the problems that surfaced this time was the ballot design or the layout. What people don't understand is that state does not send out the ballot. Every single county designs its own ballot, designs the layout of its own ballot, and then it's printed by the vendor that they engage. And some of these ballots were designed, it appeared, as if they were attempting to be designed so that people could not find the name of the number one candidate who was, designed to win if the election went in the favor of the yes vote for the removal of the current governor by putting that name on the back side of the ballot instead of the front side of the ballot. counties like San Diego had everything on the front side of the ballot, so it was well designed, but a lot of other counties did other things. We also had that big, fancy, well-publicized thing about the L.A. County ballots, and a few other counties as well, having holes in the envelopes that were positioned directly over to be able to tell whether the person voted yes or no on the recall without opening the envelope, so that before we decided whether to count that vote, we could see the vote that was inside because it went right through that hole.
It could mysteriously disappear if they didn't like what it said.
Mysteriously. Now, let me assure people, these holes in those envelopes have always been there. They are designed so that after the ballot is removed from the envelope, they can do a double check on all the envelopes quickly to make sure there's no ballot left inside the envelope. So there is a purpose for the hole, but it has never been aligned with a vote until this election. And so we had a lot of people concerned about that, and rightfully so. But of course, more than normal of the people who showed up to vote in person were told, oh, you've already voted. Your vote-by-mail ballot has already been cast. And, of course, these people were holding their vote-by-mail ballot in their hand, unvoted, and how could they have been registered as a person who'd already voted? And our answer was that prior to the election, we had sent out this information to all of the state officials that there were quite a few people who were on the voter rolls twice with two separate ID numbers, but clearly the same person. And we believe that that was what happened, that a lot of those second ballots got waylaid and they were voted in that person's name. So that's a big concern and it will continue. We had situations where voters don't know what's going on because everything's changing so fast that every time they go to an election, they don't recognize it from the last election because everything is changing. And one of those things were the ballot marking devices. And so people were marking a ballot on a ballot marking device, and it was printing their ballot. What you're supposed to do with that ballot is make sure it reads correctly, and then you put it in the box so it can go back and be counted. But there were some places where they were telling the voters, oh, this is your receipt. So the people walked out of the polling location with their ballot in their hand, thinking they had voted, and they had not. So we had to get on the registrars, and they had to spend all day calling all of those voters and telling them to go back and turn their ballot in. It was a mess. And so, you know, that's a lack of education of the people who work in the polls, plain and simple. And then, of course, people who really wanted to vote in person because they know that's the safest way to do it were strong-armed at the polls. Oh, no, just turn in your ballot here. You don't want to walk inside there. Just give us your vote-by-mail ballot. Turn in your vote-by-mail ballot. And so a lot of people felt that they weren't allowed to vote in person, even though that's what they had intended to do. So that's just a recap of some of the major issues that were reported when both sides of the aisle are telling us there were no problems at all, and everything was just fine in the selection.
Yeah.
So we still have a lot of work to do, Bob, a lot of work.
We sure do. Now, Ruth, I realize that merely finding examples, and in this case many, many examples of election fraud, is not the same as proof that Governor Newsom stole the election. I also accept that as to what you can say, you're working for a nonpartisan organization that does not endorse any one of the candidates. My gut still tells me this thing was stolen. For one thing, Newsom seems very emboldened for a man whose removal did get the necessary signatures for a recall to be put on the ballot. Now, that doesn't happen easily. Governors know that. And it's public knowledge that a lot of Democrats and independents were part of that petition. Had this been a fair election, one would think that despite him being obviously grateful to avoid the recall, he would still interpret that successful petition as a warning to back off with some of his tyrannical measures. But he doesn't seem worried at all. He seems to be doubling down. And then there was the election process itself, the mail-in ballots, ballots going out, the ballot harvesting, all in the name of COVID-19 for our protection. And yet now, that has been codified into law in Sacramento. That's now going to become the permanent way we do elections with or without COVID. That sounds to me like someone in Sacramento knows something about how successful the mail-in, mail-out ballot debacle truly was. Any thoughts or response to my idea that you feel free to share?
Absolutely, Bob. I think you hit the nail right on the head. that they've given up the pretense of we're doing this on, in the name of COVID. We're now doing it in the name of how successful, in quotes, of course, everything really is. And it has been successful from their point of view. And yes, my gut level, I'm not going to make a comment on whether or not Newsom actually won that election, but my comment would be that whatever the results were, they were not correctly reflecting the sentiments of the voice of the people of California and the way that they voted. Whether or not they voted enough to overturn him, I have no comment on. But we do know that there was a lot of situations that involved manipulation of the election because of all these laws that have been put in place over the years. And then the big push during the COVID time to just take advantage of that to put a whole lot of laws into place. The issue in California is not election integrity. The issue in California is not voter integrity, and it's not fraud. The issue is election corruption, the corruption of the entire process, which allows the process to determine the winner and the loser rather than the voters, and allow some fraud to get in because the protections have been disappeared, and it's very difficult to see how much is fraud and how much is not. But we're not talking about fraud here. We're talking about the corruption of the entire system, and it's right laid at the foot of the legislature.
Well, I suppose that Newsom really did win fair and square. I also suppose that possibly elephants can fly. Let me ask you a question. What is the advantage to the GOP? I'm assuming that they're very aware. They can't be that stupid. They see the corruption. What is the upshot to them to act like this was a fair election? Because I understand you're getting a lot of resistance from the GOP in California.
We are getting a lot of resistance from them because they don't like our stance on vote by mail. I think basically once they passed the ballot harvesting law, that the people that had benefited the most from that really swept the 2018 election. And then the other side said, oh, well, all we have to do is do the same thing they did. And somehow they are deluded into believing that they can ballot harvest better than the other side. And when you take a look at the imbalance of funding for volunteers, that sort of thing, it's ridiculous to assume you could ballot harvest the same way that the other side does and equal out. Plus, our stance is that two rights don't make a wrong. Ballot harvesting is wrong. Two wrongs don't make a right, is what I meant to say. When you ballot harvest, it's wrong. It's immoral. And it's not a democratic process. Now, when the other side says, well, instead of trying to get rid of ballot harvesting because it is wrong, we're just going to do it better than the other side. Now you're just trying to do the wrong thing better than the other side's doing it. And it's a disaster. So when someone comes along like EIPCA and tries to point out the truth of why ballot harvesting and why voting by mail in general is inadvisable, then you get a big thunderstorm and people get all upset because they still think that they can do it better. And now that they're so far into that, it's like being so far across the river that they either have to cross to the other side or go back, but it's the same distance. And so they can't admit that they were wrong and come back and say, okay, let's do it the other way. They're now all in, Bob. They are all in. And so they're going to have to continue with their point of view, and it's wrong. And it will never, ever be to the benefit of the voters of California as long as we're continuing with this process.
It sure sounds that way. In our last minute, you were talking about a lawsuit last time I had you on the program. Any update about that?
Yes, the update is that we have appealed to the Ninth Circuit. We are, that's a long process. We don't have any timeline on it, but the Ninth Circuit is looking at our lawsuit to determine whether or not it was improperly dismissed. And if they rule in our favor, it will go back down to the district court and they will now hear the case. If it is ruled not in our favor, it will go to the Supreme Court. So either way, we're still in the middle of it, and we truly believe that we will come out victorious in this to the benefit of every voter in the state of California and a lot of voters in the rest of the nation.
Well, if I had money to put down in Vegas, I'd say that the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals is not going to go along with election integrity, but we'll see. Ruth, it's always a pleasure having you on our program.
Thanks, Bob.
Okay, we'll talk to you again really soon.
Okay.
The Bob Siegel Show podcast is a production of Bob Siegel and Cross Global Media. visit us online and subscribe to the show at cgmradio.com/Bob.